Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you're joining us. If you're joining us online, why don't you sound off where you're watching us at, like living room, or maybe be so bold to tell us what state or county or town that you're in. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, I'm glad that you're all here today. We want to start off by kind of just summarizing what it feels like to live through 2020. And I think the best way to do that is to watch some videos of some kids that thought they were going to get something really special, and it just turned out to be junk. Take a look.
Here's your one present you get to open for Christmas. Merry Christmas!
Pickles? Yuck! Put that away from me! I don't want no pickles!
What? What is it? Well, why'd you throw it on the floor?
It's a Barbie!
You broke my heart.
What is it?
An old banana.
An old banana? Isn't that exciting?
No.
What are you doing?
Pushing it.
Okay. You're not excited about your presents?
I got ponies. I don't want ponies. They're for girls.
Guys,
mine is a stupid book.
We thought really hard about what to get you this year.
Well, you didn't do a very good job.
Hey, we thought about what to get you. We tried to really get you something. You didn't try very hard. I love the lady. I love the little girl who looks at the banana, totally rotten, decides, "Yeah, it's not that bad, right? I'll just take a bite of it." But most of us aren't that way. I mean, we saw this bad banana of 2020 and this pandemic and all the things that were associated with the bad events, and we had some things planned, and then that wasn't a part of the plan. Like, no one went into January expecting global pandemic, loss of job. That's not what we anticipated. We got a bag of goods, and we pulled something out that we didn't want, and we just kind of threw it back. No one planned for the pandemic. No. Most of us on our calendar for 2020 had wedding plans, graduation plans, vacation plans, consistent paycheck plans. Like, this year has not gone as planned. And one truth, when things don't go as planned, we lose hope. When we lose hope, we feel let down. Like kids who are sulking over a bad present that their parents gave to them. Like, throw it away. It's pickles. We have written this year off, and we wanted something different, and since it's not going as planned, we have lost hope, and since we have lost hope, we have felt let down, and the only difference between those kids on the video and adults in this room is we as adults know how to hide our disappointment better. That's it. The truth is, if this existed, you would take it. And be like, I'm checking out. You call me when this whole thing is over. All right? Why? Because when things don't go as planned, we lose hope. When we lose hope, we feel let down. When we feel let down, we give up. And that's the truth about us. There is no hope. We're just going to give up on this one. In hindsight, it's 2020. The series that we're just starting off is a reminder that even today, even in the misery, the despair that is in the air, though you've had something planned and it hasn't turned out the way you wanted it to, God can do something unbelievable in the midst of all this hurt, pain, brokenness, and badness. Hey, but I need your help on this. We need your help on this. In the Connect card that's in front of you, I'm sure there's going to be one that's going to be on the social media platform that you're on right now. You go to that, you'll find a form that you can go to. I want to hear your story, because you have a story. God's done something good in the middle of your pain. God's done something good in the middle of the pandemic. God's done something good in your life in the middle of your problems and your trouble. And so your trouble can turn into a testimony, and your testimony can be what is the very thing that's needed for someone else to hear, that God is in control, that God can work the plan out, that God can take the bad and use it for good. Someone needs to hear your story of encouragement in their life, because they have written 2020 off. It's nothing more than a dumpster fire, and let's just get over it as if January 2021 is going to make everything better. They need to hear about true hope, because there's so many of us in this room that when things don't go as planned, we've lost hope. When we lose hope, we feel let down. When we feel let down, we have given up. There are many of us in this room and online who are watching in who have just given up because they have lost hope. Friends, I'm here today as an encouragement to you, and that's what this series is. The Lord is telling you, you may be knocked down right now, but you are not knocked out. There is nothing out of his control. He is in control. Don't give up. Depend on God now, today, in your darkest day, more than you ever have before. Okay, what I want to do is, Romans 15 is going to be on the screen here in just a moment. I want us all to read out loud Romans 15, verse 13. Then we're going to unpack three important points from that verse here today. Let's read it out loud. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's so much to like dig through and get in there. I just want to point out the three things that are underlined before us here. Number one is God is the source of hope. He is the source. That's where it all comes from. And all this disappointment is because we're putting our hope into things that are not of God. They're not from the source of hope. And anything outside of the source is just a forgery of the original. Friends, you can't expect to get orange juice while you're squeezing a lemon. And there's so many of us that have put our hope in money, and money's going to disappoint us. We're going to put our hope in investments and the economy. That's going to disappoint us. We're going to put our hope in a job and its security or promotion. That's going to disappoint us. We're going to put our hope in an election or a politician. That's going to disappoint you. You're going to put your hope in maybe others, and even others you love, like a spouse or a friend or a kid or a coworker. You're even going to put your hope in yourself. But you have let yourself down before. Your friends, your family, your spouse has let you down before. There is no other greater source of hope than the God that we find in the scripture who says, let me be your source of hope in your 2020 and your 2021 and all your days to come. God is a source of hope. Anything outside of God is just a forgery. Second, trust in him. There is such a great promise when we trust in him. We'll fill you completely with joy and peace because. You catch the promise with the premise? Joy and peace will come because you're trusting in God. Trust in him. Why would you trust in him in a bad day? Why would you trust in God during a pandemic? Why would you trust in God when your marriage explodes? Why would you trust in God when you're not confident in your kids and where they're at in their faith? Why would you trust in God? Because God is the only one who can take out of control things and bring them back into control. That's why you trust in God. Because our God specializes in the possible, amen? Our God is the one who can take yesterday's impossibilities and then turn them into today's miracles. Because our God is a specialist in taking what is impossible for us and making it possible for him. He is a source of hope. Trust in him. And there's the promise when you trust in God. He creates in you joy and peace. Just so you know, you can't fabricate those selves in your life. You can come up with happiness, but not joy. Joy is lasting even in bad times. Peace is something that happens here inside of us, not what happens around us. And you can't produce those things. You know what can produce those things? The Spirit of the living God at work in you. Those are fruits of the Spirit. And when God's Spirit is at work in you, they are planting seeds within you so that joy and peace sprout out of you. Friends, God is a source of hope. You trust in him, you'll find joy and peace. And third, check out this beautiful promise. You will overflow with confident hope. Another beautiful promise found in this little piece of scripture. Confident hope. This isn't wishful thinking. This isn't optimism. Hey, it's all going to turn out right for us. Confident hope is confident expectation. I can expect that the sun came up yesterday, and it came up today, and I can depend on it's coming up tomorrow. You know, the scripture teaches us that Jesus Christ never changes. He is the same. What? Yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change on you. His love is not going to be removed from you. He's not going to be hot for you today, cold for you tomorrow. He's not going to back away his promises from you. He's not going to add more rules to you. No. You can count on God. Just as the sun comes up and it sets and it returns back around the earth to come back up. Well, we go around the sun, don't we? Just had to get science right there for a minute. Jesus Christ will never change. He'll see you through it. He'll strengthen you up. Joy and peace will be yours. The problems of this world will seem minuscule because you are confident, having confident expectation, confident hope in the Lord that even though it may get bad, even though it may be dark today, the Son of God is going to bring hope and light into your darkness. Isn't that great? Don't you love our God? And friends, I don't know who came up with this stupid line. God will not give you more than you can handle. And I'm not sure who keeps repeating that stupid line. But that is not true. And it is not biblical. As a matter of fact, God will give you more than you can handle. He'll get you, he'll allow things to enter your life to have you have a mental breakdown, to be completely physically exhausted. Can you get to the place where you go to the doctor and say, I'm so stressed out? And you'll want and you'll beg for the world's remedies. And God says, you've missed it. You've missed it. I am the remedy. I have allowed you to go through all that so that you would lean more on me because you are weak and I am strong. You're not in control. I'm in control. You are looking at the impossible. I am the God that offers you the power to get through the impossible. You need to lean on me. And my guess is today, if you're honest about yourself, you are not overflowing with confident hope in 2020. Like, there are things that you never saw coming, things I never saw coming. Blindsided. We're just blindsided by them. This year hasn't turned out the way that we have planned it. Like, who would have ever thought that the top commodities of the year would be hand sanitizer, toilet paper, and plexiglass? Who would have ever, like, where did that come from? Why? I would have never dreamed that businesses, churches, and schools would have just shut down for 6 months, willingly shut down. We don't need to put out a product. We don't need to keep employees on the payroll. We don't need to have in-person worship. It's just as good online. By the way, it's not. It's not. We don't need to have school. We can just do it from home. You can't. I mean, 2 weeks of no school approved in my family, you can't. Friends, 2019, I never pictured any, like, did you ever picture working from home in 2020? Did you ever picture yourself doing online schooling? Did you ever picture yourself 14-day quarantining? Did you ever imagine our government would stand up and people in positions of authority would say, I think we need to cancel Thanksgiving, and there's a possibility we might cancel Christmas. They want to cancel Christmas. Would you ever saw that coming in 2020? Would you ever thought, ladies, that you'd have to look at your wardrobe and then decide what mask you should wear that would go with your outfit? Like, when did that happen? And what I know is when things don't go as planned, we lose hope. And when we lose hope, we feel let down. And here's the worst, when we feel let down, we just give up. And here's what I'm seeing in people as a pastor, even people who proclaim boldly the name of Jesus Christ in their life and claim they have faith in him. Many don't have confident hope. They have hopeful words, they have hopeful expectations, they have optimism, but they don't have confident hope that God's going to see them through us, that God's going to work in our darkness, that God's going to do something good in the middle of our bad. And I'm talking with people who are saying the right things, and you've heard this, and you maybe said it. Hey, pastor, God will get us through it. I'm like, yeah, I know. Are you trying to tell yourself that right now? And they say, we just need to trust in God right now. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Are you just trying to tell yourself right that? And then they'd say things like, it is what it is. We'll get through it. We've gotten through worse things before. I know. But are you just trying to teach yourself that right now? We're expressing words of perseverance. We're expressing words of hope. But friends, we are not coping like hopeful people cope when faced with disappointment and despair. We are not coping that way. We're saying one thing and we're acting another and we're doing another internally. There are three coping mechanisms that we express primarily when we are disappointed and when we face moments of despair. We can't change our situation. They are apathy. I'll just detach from it. I'm going to pretend I don't care. I'm not going to give my heart to it. I'm not going to give my thought intention to it. There's anxiety. You're overwhelmed with stress. You even have these moments where you can't sleep and you're consumed and burdened by it. Times where it really worries you. You have times of anger. It's just lashing out and raging, going crazy, and just losing your mind and like going, I don't even know why I said what I said, did what I did. Apathy, anxiety and anger. Friends, these are the smoke alarms that are going off in your life right now, and they're an indication that something is really wrong somewhere in your life. And so don't get angry about the alarm. When the fire breaks out in your house, you don't go, stupid alarm, shut up. If you just be quiet, everything would be right in this house. No, the house is on fire. It's being consumed. You have a problem. You need to do something with it. You need to find out why the alarms are going off in your life. Why is there apathy in your life this year? Why is there anxiety and anger in your life this year? You solve the problem, you stop the alarms. Now, I think what happens at Christmas, especially this time of the year, is we magnify the joy and we magnify the sadness. And you have this huge amount of joy that comes with Christmas. Families getting together, gifts being exchanged, love being expressed, you know, moments being made, events happening, just joyous occasion for so many. But the sadness is also magnified during this time. You'll have dinner parties and you'll have family get-togethers where a loved one will be missing this year. And maybe that's because of divorce or conflict or death. But it really magnifies the sadness. And for some of us, sadness has become the hallmark of the holiday. And friends, as I look back over the very first Christmas that you find written about in the Gospels, especially Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 1 and 2, there is so much to be disappointed about in the Christmas story. And yet, with all the despair in the air, never once do you see the primary characters who are experiencing pain and hurt and trouble and anguish. You never see their smoke alarm going off. You don't find the anger, you don't find the anxiety, and friend, you don't find the apathy. Let's just look through the not going as planned problems that Mary and Joseph experienced, and just let's waltz through the Christmas story for a moment. First, there's the virgin birth. Like, how in the world, as a young lady, do you explain to people that the baby's not Joseph's, the baby daddy is God? Like, I'm serious, that's who. What a crazy story. Like, where do you begin to start to tell that story, how that happened, the miraculous conceiving of a child in your womb? And yet Mary has to begin to explain that story, become ridiculed for that story, and hope that people believe that story. Then there are taxes that have to be paid during this time. So you compound that with taxes and tax season, and while they should be saving up for a baby and getting the crib and everything in order and just the money it takes to have a kid, no, they have to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and they have to pay the taxes. And because of the taxes, there's a census, and they have to go back to their hometown, Joseph's hometown, to register for the census so they can be counted. And that's a place called Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a little town, but it is jam-packed with people, and there is no vacancy. They can't find a Sheraton in town, so they have to shelter in a stable. Right there, guys, would be enough to ruin my Christmas, yet alone all the other things. And once Mary finally has the baby, almost immediately after she gives birth, family doesn't arrive, friends don't arrive, some stinky, sweaty, unkempt shepherds arrive. And they say, "Let me hold your baby." And beyond that, there's this king, a wicked king by the name of King Herod, who hears that Jesus could be a king. He doesn't know who Jesus is, and so he issues this murderous decree that any baby boy child under the age of 2 in Bethlehem, born in Bethlehem and the vicinity of Bethlehem, should be put to death. That is called the Massacre of the Innocents. And then there is this angel that visits Joseph and says, "My child, Jesus, will be spared from this. Take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt." But Egypt was no place that he knew. Different culture, different people, different language. And he has to spend 3.5 years there trying to make a living in a foreign country. Okay, guys, you just start going to the not planned events of Mary and Joseph during a special moment in their life, and you pick out one or two of those things, that's enough to ruin our life. You put all those things together, I think most of us would just consider that God has cursed our lives and that he has given up on us. Yet nothing is going as planned for Mary and Joseph, but hope was never lost in that story. With all of the calamity that took place that very first Christmas, you don't find anything but calm in Mary and Joseph. Hey, why aren't the alarms of anxiety, of anger, of apathy going on in Mary and Joseph? I mean, that is despair, that is anguish, that is trouble, that is... No. Cloaked in that very first Christmas is one word that is never written in the Gospels of this story, but is constantly present, and that is the word hope. Mary and Joseph were able to get through their darkest days because they had confident hope in God. God is going to come through. I know it looks bad now, Joseph. God is going to come through. We have confident hope that God is going to come through. Joseph, we're going to completely trust that while it might look like everything is going south, we might be knocked out now down, but we are not knocked out because God is going to come through. Friends, do you have confident hope today like that? Are you trusting God to do something good when you are experiencing something bad? Or are the alarms going on in your life of anger and apathy and anxiety telling you, you got a fire that you're ready to be consumed by because you have put your hope in the wrong things, something counterfeit other than the source of hope, God. You're not trusting the Redeemer to redeem the hurt. You're not trusting the Redeemer to heal your pain or disappointment that you've experienced over the year. And to totally understand the height of hope that first Christmas, you really have to see the depth of despair that was taking place that first Christmas. Because it was a dark time to live when Mary and Joseph and Jesus was born. Now, there's a prophet named Isaiah who prophesied about the birth of Jesus and foretold about the birth of Jesus 700 years prior to Jesus being born. God spoke to Isaiah and said, this is going to be the situation, the circumstances, the problems of the world when Jesus is born. There would be spiritual darkness, and there'd be deep despair for the people. Spiritual darkness and inky black despair for the people. You ever heard the old expression, it's always darkest before the dawn? The dawn is about ready to happen in the middle of those who are in the darkness during the time of Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Isaiah the prophet wrote about that time and said this, that the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. And Isaiah says there's going to be dark times, there's going to be trouble, but there's going to be a moment where it's all going to end. Those who experience the problems of those days, those who experience the darkness and the despair, the Mary and Josephs and the Jesuses of the day, boy, it was difficult to find light at the end of the tunnel. It was difficult to find some hope in the middle of their despair. They were going through some dark days. God, where is the light? Where is the hope? Hey, it was a dark time in society. Rome was the one that controlled the whole region and in most of the known world. Rome had what was going on at the time called Pax Romana, which meant Roman peace, which meant everybody was supposed to experience peace under the umbrella of the Roman authority. The only problem was no one was experiencing peace, only those that were Roman citizens. Because Rome's way of peace was do as we say and you'll live. Don't do as we say, you die and we'll have peace. It was a dark day spiritually. Spiritually, God had stopped speaking. I don't know if you've recognized this, but in between the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and the New Covenant, the New Testament, there is a gap of 400 years of God not talking. He didn't talk through preachers, didn't talk through prophets, didn't speak audibly, didn't come down with angels, and angels became his messenger. 400 years, God just grew quiet. And the people wonder, is God still around? Does God even care anymore about us? And because of that, religious leaders came to the top and they filled in the void of God and they tried to do God-like things and they became corrupt in it. And they put a heavy burden on people like us to live out religious rules and rituals, but they forgot about the relationship. So there's a heavy burden of rules and rituals that became religion. And the people didn't want anything to do with God anymore. And God became this impersonal God, not caring about our problems, not caring about our despair, not caring about our darkness. Like they have written him off. And that first Christmas, I'm here to tell you, there was more disappointment. There was more despair in the air than anything you're experiencing right now. They were going through it. And yet Mary and Joseph and others in this Christmas story have this confident expectation that God is going to do something good in the middle of their mess. They were confidently trusting that God would deliver them and bring a deliverer to them. And I love how Isaiah the prophet continues his prophecy about the birth of Jesus in verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. It's coming. It's not there yet, but it's coming. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And then he goes on and he tells us about this light and what it will bring to us. Verse 6, this is what Jesus brings to the world. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders. Why don't you just read this aloud with me? And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the people, Mary and Joseph, they're all experiencing tremendous trouble. And as they went through this trouble, they had this confident hope that God would step into their mess. And God did. Because God is a redeemer. God is a deliverer. God is a savior. God is a rescuer. God steps into our mess so that you can have confident hope in him. Who is our God? He is Wonderful Counselor. Anybody need a counselor right now? A bit of advice, some direction on how to navigate the darkness of this time? How to move through the fog and get through it? God is the counselor ever present in our time of trouble to bring you advice and understanding to navigate the unpredictable. God is a mighty God. That word phrase for him means powerful champion. He is the undisputed champion of the world, Jesus. He's not just the God who has power to do the miraculous, to pull off the impossible, to have control over the uncontrollable. He also is the God of power. He controls power itself. He is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, friends, and he's not going away. Why? Because he is the everlasting Father. His protection will never end. His provision will never stop for you. He won't run out on you, and he won't run away from you, and he is the Prince of Peace. He restores the broken. He gives comfort to the weary, calms the child during the storm. He's the keeper of peace. He holds the power to overcome problems. There is nothing out of his control because there is nothing that is beyond his control. Our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father is our Prince of Peace. There is no problem. There is no pandemic. There is no pain that is so great that God cannot overcome. There is no relationship so fractured, so heart so broken, so situation so complex, so a relationship with a status that is so complicated that he can't redeem and restore and bring back to life. That is who our God is. The first Christmas, God came down to our mess. God came into our despair. He came into our corner of darkness and our place of disappointment. He really walked into our spiritually dead lives so that we might have hope if we trust in him and experience joy and peace when there is despair in the air. That's who our God is. He is the source of hope. Do you know him? The people in despair, they see a great hope on the horizon. Isaiah continues that prophecy in chapter 40. He says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You're like, hey, I've got that placard in my kitchen. I love that scripture. It just means so much to me. But it really doesn't tell you the full story. Because that word hope is so important there, because that word hope is not really hope at all. Really, the word there is kavah, Hebrew word kavah. But that word for Lord, Jehovah, however you want to say it, when mixed with kavah and Jehovah, is kavah Jehovah, which really enters a new word for us. And it basically could be said like this, those who trust in the Lord. God, you're going to make a way when I don't see a way. I trust you. God, you're going to do something good when I don't think any good can come out of this because I trust you. I trust your Redeemer. I trust your Deliverer. I trust your Savior. God, I trust that you have power to control what I cannot, to give me strength when I am weak. I trust you. And when hope is put into God, it turns into trust. And you can count on God. This is the way that people's lives were changed when they came to the Messiah Jesus as he started his ministry. He did all sorts of miracles so that he would have authority with his speaking and his preaching. People would bring their children to Jesus who were sick and one who was dead. People would come to Jesus with all sorts of health problems, all sorts of physical abnormalities. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, bring my child back to life. Jesus, meet my need in my darkest hour. And they all came to Jesus. They all came to Jesus, hoping that God would do something to change their despair, to get them into a place of victory when they're experiencing defeat. And that hope was turned to trust when they had some steps of faith to Jesus. You know what faith is? Faith is hope in action. Faith is belief in action. It's doing something with the belief or the hope that you have. And they moved their way to Jesus. And they said, Jesus, make my eyes whole. Jesus, command me to walk. And I walk. Jesus, tell my daughter to rise from the dead and she will live. Jesus, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And in faith, she reaches out and touches his hem of his garment, and she is cured of her bleeding. And they all came to Jesus, trusting that he is the only one who could make a way when there didn't seem to be a way. Is that how you see this last year? Is that how you see 2021, even if it gets worse? God's word tells us about the hope that God gives us. It says this hope does not disappoint us. For God has poured out his love into our hearts by the means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us. He's poured it out into our lives. Some of you today are in a hopeless marriage, and this pandemic has only compounded the problems. It's been on the rocks, but now it doesn't seem like it can be saved. It's nearly over the cliff. God is a deliverer. Some of you are in a hopeless career. There's no place for promotion. The pandemic won't allow that. There's no place for more money, for more income, for a bump in salary. The pandemic has ruined that. It's only compounded the problem. It's a hopeless career. You can't sidestep it because you don't have the skills to pay the bills over at another job. You just have to stay in this dead end one. God is a redeemer. You have hopeless health problems. Doctors can't figure it out. Been to specialists, they can't figure it out. You're taking medication, it ain't working. People don't seem to understand your plight. They don't understand your pain. You talk about it, but you get no sympathy or empathy from them. God is a restorer. And all these things. You have a hopeless situation with a kid, a hopeless situation with finances. God is a redeemer. What do you do in despair, in times of darkness, when disappointment comes? Friends, you get to the source of hope, God himself, and you do that by leaning into Jesus Christ. And some of you today, you need to let the old of you become new. And the scripture says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ can become a new person. The old is gone. The new has come. How does that happen? It happens when you say, God, it's not about me. It's about you. I'm giving my life over to you in baptism. I have faith enough to make the steps to get there because I have the trust in you that you can make a way when I can't. You can forgive me of my sins. You can be the one that repairs and redeems my marriage. You can allow me to see the goodness in this hopeless career. You can allow me to have a ministry and have a testimony, even though I'm experiencing pain with some health problems. Father, you are a God that can take the impossible and do something amazing through it. I trust you in the bad. I trust you in the good. You are Redeemer. You are Savior. You are Deliverer. You are my only hope. Friends, that starts right there. Right there, that says no situation is too hopeless. No person is so wrong. God can redeem. Jesus is Lord. He saves. Amen. Will you pray with me? God, you are good. We aren't, but you are. And we know we're in bad. We know we have had things compounded because of other events in our life and other events that surround our life. And these warning signs of anxiety and anger and apathy are going off in us. And we're running to the wrong places to try to get it remedied. When you are the source of hope, you bring to us peace and joy that cannot be produced by anything, anyone but you. And so, Father, today, May we run into the arms of Jesus like those who have before us and find hope, find light in the middle of this darkness, find a Savior, find a Lord, find a provider, find a protector. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and we say together, amen.